Please join with me as we read in Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. So it's a continuation of the previous chapter in which he was talking about the polluted offerings of the priests. And now he rebukes. "And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction."
Take me to your leader. Why do we say that? Well, leadership's important, isn't it? You know, as the leader goes, so goes the organization or the ministry or even the whole country. Spiritual leadership is important too, maybe even more so. Why are we talking about spiritual leadership today? Did the elders put me up to it? Not at all. It's just the next passage in the book of Malachi. And the people were struggling with what we are calling for this whole series, authentic faith, because the leaders were struggling with authentic faith. And God is going to address them today. Now, you've got a taste of sort of spiritual leadership already today. We've talked about what it means to be a missionary. And I've loved the picture this morning, and it's not just this morning, it's really every Sunday morning and other days throughout the week, but especially here on Sunday, I see all sorts of spiritual leaders doing things up front and behind the scenes and people just serving God. What does that take? If you had to make a list, sort of, here's what spiritual leaders do, or at least here's what they should be like, what qualities or characteristics would you list? Here's one list. 22? I don't know what your list would be. It could be a lot, could be a little. Chapter 2 that Tim read for us is talking to the priests. Some of you grew up in a tradition, a religious tradition with priests. Well, in the Old Testament, the priests were sort of this intermediary between God and the people. And they offered sacrifices, they prayed for the people, and they received God's word and communicated that word. Oh, well, that's good, because that doesn't include me now. This sermon isn't for me. Well, don't jump to that conclusion yet. Amazingly, the Bible says that we are priests. Here's what the Apostle Peter says in his first letter, 1 Peter 1:9. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. The priests of our passage, Malachi 2, are certainly the pastors and missionaries of today, but can equally and rightfully extend to elders and deacons and ministry leaders and Sunday school teachers. It applies in the family as well. That spiritual leadership takes place there to parents and grandparents who spiritually influence and lead their families. So really, Christians, we're a kingdom of priests, of mothers, of fathers, of elders, of ministry leaders, of teachers, of coaches, of mentors. And I don't want to do 22 of these. But in our passage, God is going to give just three. Three factors that's going to help refocus the spiritual leadership for Malachi's day and for our day. And I think these are very practical because these three factors, it's going to give us a choice of whether we can, what we're going to do with these. Here's the first one. Talks about God's name. Now, name, especially of God in the Bible, is more than just a title. Name means who you are, right? Your character, your attributes, your characteristics. What kind of God is God? And if any of you have ever done like a study on the names of God in Scripture, it's very insightful. You get a picture of, oh, this is who God is. Well, leaders have a choice about how to treat God's name. Here's their choice, and these are my words. They can cheapen God's name. Cheapen it. God looks down on these priests, and he sees that their lives are not what they should be, and they're not honoring God's name. So God's going to rebuke them, give them an admonition, a warning, give them another chance. What does he do? He says, well, you need to, verse 2, you need to take it to heart, see here, to give honor to my name. Take it to heart. Spiritual leaders not just hear God's word, but they have to obey God's word, right? They've got to do it. Set your heart on this. Take it to heart, is what it says. Now, what happens if you and I, as spiritual leaders, we don't do that? We don't honor God's name, but we kind of cheapen it. What if we trash talk God? What's going to happen? God warns us. He says, I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. This sin and rebellion and falling short is not going to just be easily washed away. They can't just do some sort of religious ritual and take care of it. They can't bless themselves sort of out of the mess they're in. God says, no, that's not going to work. The way that they're living now is affecting the people around them. And parents, you know how that goes, where the way you are living now is going to be the influence and the legacy that you leave with your children and your grandchildren and further generations. It affects it. He says, I will rebuke your offspring. See that in verse 3. And I will spread dung on your faces. Now, what dung? The dung of your offerings. Remember, they were offering, in the Old Testament, you offer animals, and the guts, and especially the dung, you don't offer that. It's unclean, and so you, I don't know how you do this, but you collect it, and you carry it out of camp, and you burn it, and you just get rid of it. Well, God says, you're not honoring my name, so I'm going to give you a manure makeover. I'm going to spread this on your face. Now, what's the big deal about that? Well, they should have carried it off because it's unclean. Well, now the priests themselves with that honor, they are unclean and no longer fit for duty, so to speak. So they're carried off. You shall be taken away. And we see this. Sometimes in the news, you will see, especially if they're more well-known, a pastor or a spiritual leader or something has fallen. They've done something wrong, and they're taken away. They have lost their influence and their ministry. And I don't know about you, either whether whenever I hear that, if I know them or I don't know them or I've heard their name or I don't know any detail, whatever, I'm always saddened that somewhere along the line, they cheapened God's name. Well, what's the other choice? The other choice is you're going to cherish God's name. Cherish it. My covenant with him. Who is him? Go back. Verse 4, it says, my covenant with Levi. Now, who was Levi? Levi, remember, was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, who eventually they had big families, and it grew into one of the 12 tribes of Israel. The priests came from the tribe of Levi. And Levi, the first one, he himself, he was a good guy. He was a godly leader. Look how it describes him. It says, he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. Over 150 times in the Old Testament, it talks about fearing God. Now, that's not a dread or a terror, but sometimes it's used, other words used to kind of define it. It's an awe, or you revere God's name. It's a holy fear. Here's what one author, Oswald Chambers, said about fearing God. He says, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. It makes a difference, doesn't it? In Malachi's day and in our day, good leaders who cherish God's name and they fear him and they follow him bring great blessing. I hope you and I have a healthy fear of God, that we honor his name, we revere his name, we worship him, we obey him. And Malachi will talk more about what that means. I've been a Free Church pastor since 1992. That was, Rick, when you joined the mission. I love being a pastor. At least most days I do. But I really do. I love being a pastor. I love serving in the church and seeing God at work. And I take spiritual leadership, or at least try to, pretty seriously. But I realized that my first priority was at home and with my closest three disciples, my three kids. See, I didn't want to, quote, be a success in the church and lose my family along the way. And I got to credit my wife for partnering with me all these years, both in ministry and my family. We've taken our kids and their spiritual life and growth pretty seriously. And we wanted them to also cherish God's name. And we can't really take credit. God is the one at work. All three of our adult kids are walking with God, and I hope forever they cherish God's name. And I know what you want that for your family as well. But spiritual leaders, they deal with God's name. And they always have a choice as to how to respond and react to who God is. God's name. Here's the second big factor, God's word. Spiritual leaders, the priests, sometimes in the Old Testament, we think, oh, they just offered sacrifices and that was it. No, they did more than that. They received and communicated God's word to the people. Spiritual leaders have a choice of what will we do with God's word. Here's the choices. Well, they can communicate it. How do they communicate? Well, it says, with your lips, of course. True instruction, nothing wrong. They've shared God's word. In the book of Acts, when Paul is saying goodbye to a church, the church at Ephesus, he says, I preach to you the whole counsel of God. Now, what is that? Well, that means he didn't leave anything out. He taught everything that he could, even the hard verses, even the ones that are difficult to understand or difficult to hear even sometimes. I've only been here a few weeks now, but I really appreciate NEFC's priority and commitment to God's word. And I see it. It shows up everywhere of how it's communicated in our messages, in our prayers, in our Sunday school lessons, in our small group studies, God's word. It says you need to communicate that on your lips, but also in your life, right? Walked with me in peace and uprightness. Spiritual leaders need to make sure God's word is in their life first before they share it with somebody else. Look at the last bit of verse 7. He's the messenger of the Lord of hosts. He realizes the priest, the spiritual leader, represents God to the people. We have owned 3 different homes in the churches where we have served. South Minneapolis, Mound, and Watertown, Minnesota. It's interesting. All 3 times on moving day when our U-Haul showed up and we started to unpack our house, all 3 places, a neighbor would come over and say, oh, you must be the new pastor moving in. They knew before we even moved in who was going to live there. And that used to bother me. Like, oh, well, what do you do for a living? You know, I mean, I don't know how I was going to respond. But I realized actually that was a good thing. That people knew we were believers. And that maybe, yeah, they were going to watch us. That's okay. We'll use that to our advantage. As we would do prayer walks around the neighborhood, as we would invite them over for a Christmas celebration or just as we talked with them, they knew we were believers. And we tried to communicate God's word. Well, if you don't communicate, what's the other choice? You can compromise it. Apparently, the priests were doing this. You've turned aside. Maybe you knew the Bible, but you got to obey the Bible. You've caused many to stumble by what you said. Not only affects you, this affects other people. You've corrupted the covenant. Somehow, these priests have allowed religious ritual to sort of take over. And because of that, the people despise the spiritual leaders. Wow. Somehow the spiritual leaders valued more what the people thought than what God thought. And so somewhere along the line, they compromised. And you know this, that if you and I don't take our relationship with God seriously, other people aren't going to either. I'm sorry to say that ministers can still be tempted to compromise God's word. They don't believe that the Bible is God's final word. They maybe explain away things. See, if you don't believe, let's say, if you don't believe in miracles, that Jesus didn't raise from the dead or God didn't do miracles, then you've got to sort of come up with another explanation of why the Bible does that. Well, God doesn't really do miracles. It just was, you know, those people back then, they weren't very smart and they kind of Jesus tricked them. And I don't know. You compromise really what the Word of God says. Now, this is true not just of pastors and missionaries or, quote, professional people. Parents, you know this too, that your kids are watching how you handle God's word. Do you read it? Do you follow it? Or do you just ignore it? They watch. They say, well, the Bible talks about prayer. Do we pray? Yeah, or don't we? Do we trust God with our money or our future? Do we ask God for wisdom when we're trying to make decisions? Does your family know God's instruction about sexual purity and identity? Or is it compromised? Or just ignored? Spiritual leaders deal with this. They deal with God's name. They deal with God's word. One final factor. They deal with God's people. Spiritual leaders deal with people. It's not programs, it's people. Right? That's the priority. Well, how does that work? How does your spiritual leadership affect other people? Well, let's go back to verses 6 through 9. This is, again, these are my words, convert. And I know that technically we don't convert or change people. God does that. But God can use us in the process. Do people avoid spiritual truths or don't get it? Or like here it says, they're seeking instruction. They're wanting to know what's right. And in our world today, that could be a challenge because we live in a world where absolute truth isn't really absolute anymore. It's up for grabs and people get confused. So let's say you work in our kids ministry here at church. You're a Sunday school teacher or VBS or you serve in the nursery. Is that just babysitting? No. It's helping teach and guide young minds and hearts about how to deal with and honor God's name and God's word. And that early on, they get an idea that church is a safe and loving and holy kind of place. And they want to come here. People seek instruction, not just in the church building, but where you live, where you work, maybe extended family and friends. They're watching, right? Why is that? Because they experience a lot of the same things that you and I experience, and they wonder how to do it. What is Christian parenting or family all about? Or when sickness and death hit, what do we do? Or they wonder if you as a Christian, does that impact how you work on the job? What is a Christian employee anyway? And they watch. Or maybe you're the boss or a manager of other people and they want to see, well, how do they treat other people? Does your Christian faith affect anything like that? And so as we interact with people, we have that great opportunity. Well, if it's not convert, that's a good word. We've seen a positive and a negative. Here's the negative one. Condemn. Instead of causing the people to see what God's will is, these priests have caused them people to stumble, it says. You've corrupted. You've shown partiality. Last week we looked at the whole area of worship and how these spiritual leaders were accepting the people's offerings inferior, and it corrupted their worship. Sometimes spiritual leaders can place an emphasis more on the ritual and miss the whole heart of God's covenant or instruction. Maybe some of you grew up, I'll use our term, more current term, in a legalistic kind of foundation or background, where rules were more important than relationship. Now, does the Bible have any rules? Well, yeah, it certainly does. It's not that God just says do whatever you want. But if we get that out of whack, that's a hard burden. That your walk with God is more about do's and don'ts than about a heart of love and trust in God. And we'll talk more about that. Well, what have we said as we wrap it up this morning? Spiritual leaders, you're out there. I see a whole bunch of you. You deal with these factors day in and day out. And we always have a choice. God's name, what are we going to do about God? Do we cheapen it or cherish it? And we deal with God's word. What are we going to do with that? Are we going to communicate it or compromise it? And of course, every day, we deal with people. What's our ministry and life and influence going to be there? Convert them or condemn them? Let me close with two applications, and then I'll have the worship team come and we'll wait upon you for receive the Lord's offering here. Two applications. One, pray for your spiritual leaders. Support them. Help them. Pray for their perseverance and their marriages and families. It can be hard. So pray for them. As our fall ministries get going, pray for as a search team committee is formed. Pray for me. I'll take all the prayers I get. Pray for your new pastor, whoever he is, wherever he is. Start praying for him. And then secondly, commit to being the best spiritual leader you can be. God's placed you in a specific location and ministry and circle of influence. Do the best you can with that. If you're an elder, you're a ministry leader, you're a Sunday school teacher, you're a parent, you're a mentor, you're a coach, say, God, I just need your help. Help me be the spiritual leader that I know you want me to be and you want me to be and I want to be. And other people need me to be. Let me just close in a word of prayer here, and then we'll wait on you for the Lord's offering. Thanks, Lord, for the spiritual leaders that have had an influence and are having an influence in our lives and in our church life and in our community. Lord, help us in all the roles that we specifically play to be the kind of people that we need to be. Thanks for this word today. Continue to encourage and grow and build and use us for your glory. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.